Well, hello everyone. It's good to be with you again today. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share with you some things that the Lord has been speaking to me, and I trust that God will bless you, that He'll deposit some truth into your life that'll bring some real freedom. Now, yesterday we were talking about life in the wilderness and how we encounter the Lord there, and that even though He may not design the wilderness, or He may not be the one who has created the wilderness, that the Lord doesn't waste anything, and He causes all things to work together for good, even warfare, spiritual warfare. And so He does meet us in the wilderness and often accelerates at a higher speed our Christ-likeness as we encounter Him in the wilderness. We learn about our belovedness to Him, about who He is to us as our beloved, and our belovedness to Him, and how we learn even more how to lean into the one who loves us so much that we can know we can trust Him. But I want to kind of follow up on that today, because last night at our Wednesday night service at Christ the King, and I shared that word, but there was a couple of things the Lord had shown me that I didn't get a chance to share yesterday that I think will be an encouragement to you. There's an encouragement to me. And from John chapter 16. So we're following up yesterday and talking about going through times of testing. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. That was something Jesus said as a fact. We live in a fallen world. All of us go through times of wilderness or testing at various times in our life. And some of you may be going through that right now. And so I want you to hear this word and these aspects of the word that I didn't get to share yesterday. Because again, I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. Because you understand that we do have a real enemy. See, here's the deal. I believe there is a devil. Of course I do. I just don't believe in the devil. I don't put my trust in him. The scripture says in Psalm 112, verse 10, do not trust in oppression. And so there's only two kind of wisdoms in this world. That which comes from above, and that which is earthly, fleshly, and demonic. So if it's fleshly wisdom, thinking, then it's earthly, and it also has a demonic aspect to it. The enemy uses that. The enemy works through our carnal or natural mind. But we have the mind of Christ, and we can live from the mind of Christ. And that wisdom, which comes from above, has the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's different. And so that's heaven's wisdom. So you're either operating from heaven's wisdom, or you're operating from the flesh. And if you're operating from the flesh, then the enemy gets in there, because that's where the warfare really happens. If you're thinking with the mind of the flesh instead of from the mind of Christ. And so when we go through battles, again, we often find ourselves trusting in oppression, because if what we're thinking isn't coming from heaven, isn't coming from Christ, if it isn't the thinking of Christ, then it is the thinking of the flesh, and it carries a tone of the demonic that's always trying to kill, steal, to destroy. So in times of testing, you'll either advance in Christ-likeness, or the enemy will kill, steal, and to destroy your spiritual walk, your mental and emotional well-being. And so this is something I want you to see as we follow up on that word today from John 16 that I think will help. So this is John 16. I'm going to turn to it here. And this is in the Upper Room Discourse. So remember, in the Upper Room Discourse, one of the things that Jesus is doing, this is his last fellowship and truth imparting time with his disciples before the crucifixion. Now, he does more after the resurrection, but this is just before the crucifixion. And he's also telling them what's going to happen to him. As a matter of fact, it says in John 14, he makes this statement. And because he tells them he's about to leave them. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall soon follow me later. And Peter said, Lord, why can't we follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. And then Jesus makes this statement. This is the first verse in chapter 15. Let not your heart be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. And so Jesus knew in this upper room discourse, he was having a conversation with his disciples that was, one, comforting, because he taught about abiding in him, but it was also very heart troubling, could be to them, because he's talking about going away. And so he's talking about the cross. They don't really understand what he's saying. They just know that what he's saying is troubling them. That's why he says, let not your heart be troubled. So in this context of the upper room discourse, and he makes it clearer and clearer as he moves through this discourse with them, this conversation with them, what's about to happen to him. And so by the time we get to the conversation in chapter 16, it's deep in the conversation. Jesus said this verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, so now do you believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now that's Jesus' words to them in light of the fact that they're about to experience great persecution, and they're about to experience the horror in their mind of watching him be crucified, because they didn't really understand what was going on. And so he's telling them, if you're believing what I'm saying to you about some other things he was saying to them, he says, do you believe me? He says, an hour's coming, it's already at hand, where you're going to be scattered all to your own home, and you're going to leave me alone. They all abandoned him at the cross. Now, at some point, John came back, but he originally left with all the other apostles and fled. And only the ladies were there, a few ladies were there at the cross at the beginning. But he makes this statement, having said that to them. He says, these things, this is verse 33, these things I have spoken to you. Now listen to this, that in me you may have peace. Over in chapter 14, he said to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So Jesus' solution to them, he says, for troubled heart, he says, my peace, not just peace, but my peace I give to you, and it's not as the world gives, because it's got nothing to do with circumstances. He says, I give you my peace, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So back in verse 33 of 16, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now the next statement, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Now again, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now what are the things he's spoken to them? They're about to go through a dramatic change, where physically he's not going to be with them as he has been. Now he's going to explain to them, and he has explained to them already in chapter 16, that he's going to come to get them again in the person of the Holy Spirit. They didn't really understand that fully yet. They'll come to understand that more with his post-resurrection appearance and conversations with them. And then, of course, it happened at Pentecost, that he was going to come to live in them, not just be with them, but now be live in them by the Holy Spirit. But here, he's been saying these things about leaving them, and he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. They're going to go through a time of great confusion, great persecution, great chaos. And he says, but you're going to find peace. And even after Pentecost, the great persecutions that they went through, he says, you're going to find that in me you'll have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, you and I can't do a lot. We can pray in the situations, we can make a difference, but Jesus promised that even in light of that, in this world you will have tribulation. So there's no way to avoid times of testing, seasons of wilderness experiences in your Christian life. I don't mean by wilderness, that wilderness of your soul, but just that things are going on that are difficult in your life. That can be short-term or even long-term. There's no way around that. We're in this world that's fallen, and in this world where things happen as a result of the choices of people around us, the choices of people on the other side of the world can affect us. The circumstances that occur that we have no control over. And Jesus is wanting them to know that if you're looking for peace based on everything calming down and there being no storms, if that's the only way in your little boat of your world that you can be at peace is when the storm is calmed, you're going to be in trouble. But you see, Jesus, I mean, there's those places, in, I think it's in Mark chapter 4, where they were going through a storm and Jesus was in the back of the boat and he was asleep. Because Jesus was at peace in the storm. They only had peace when the storm calmed down. You don't want to live your Christian life where that only when things calm down, only when the test goes away, do you have peace. That's the peace that the world gives. It's totally circumstantial. But in Christ, you can know his supernatural peace. You're one with Jesus. Jesus Christ lives in you as your life. And you can know and experience and abide in his peace. Now, when we go through times of testing, there will sometimes be moments of struggle. Jesus is not offended with you in the struggle. We talked about that yesterday. He's not disgusted with you or disappointed in you in the struggle. See, he knows that the very fact that you're struggling is that in that moment where you're struggling, you have the chance to have a breakthrough into a place of greater freedom than you ever knew, even before the time of testing even happened. So if you're having a time in your life where you're being tested and you're struggling some, don't feel guilty about that. Don't be ashamed about that. Don't let anybody shame you about that. The very fact that you're struggling means that the Lord's allowing you to have to face some things that he wants you to break through from and into a greater level of abiding in his peace than you've ever known before. Okay? It's a really important word for you. So it's in Christ that we have peace. I just can't tell you how many times in the last few months or over my walk with the Lord that where I've heard the Lord say to me in situations where I find myself being alarmed on the inside or anxiety begin to happen or being frightened on the inside, you know, or being anxious on the inside, and the Lord Jesus would say to me, Chuck, I have peace about this. And I would, wow, like, if you have peace about that, and you know everything, and you know what's coming, then, and you're my life, then I'm not going to keep operating in from this independent place. Of course, yes, Lord. I just sink into you, surrender into you. Thank you that you're my peace. That because you're my life, we have peace about this. That's just extraordinary. I think I may have shared this before, but I remember being in a situation one time that I was dealing with, or at least a part of, and I knew that months down the road, if things didn't work out well, there could be some bad consequences. And one day the Lord told me, he said, Chuck, I'm not worried about that. And I thought he was saying it's going to turn out just perfectly. I thought, you're not worried about it, Lord? So it's going to turn out really good? And he said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I don't worry. Because he doesn't worry. He doesn't give into fear. And I was able at that moment to let go of the mounting worry I was having and then go, Lord, okay, yes, of course. We don't worry about that. You have peace about this. In him, we have peace. He said, in the world, you have tribulation. But even when there's tribulation going on in this fallen world around you, even when you're walking through a wilderness time, you can abide in his peace, he says, because he says, for in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But he goes, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, the incarnate Christ was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. And so he's already done the human experience, clothed in our humanity, tempted to be fearful, tempted to be anxious, tempted with everything, and yet never gave into it. He's already overcome. And now we're in union with that Christ. And Jesus is saying to us that he's the overcomer. And he always has the attitude of the overcomer. He knows that no matter what we're going through, no matter what I'm going through, and he in me, in my life, he's now taken over my life. My story is now his story. And he knows that in this story, he knows it's all going to turn out for my good and his glory. He knows what's going to come next. He knows exactly how he's going to handle it. He has peace about it. He has the attitude of an overcomer. When it may feel like I'm being overcome and this thing's going to destroy me, the Christ who lives in me, who's at peace, knows that he's the overcomer. That in the end, he's going to have his way and he's going to win. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that other people's lives around me are going to be transformed as I simply abide in him. And the light of the world comes forth from my life, shines forth from me as I'm just abiding in him and in his peace and in his attitude of overcoming, and allow him, Christ-likeness, to minister to those around me. He knows that the circumstances and situations, what's going to happen, even if it should turn out to be my death, it will be victory. Because in my death, where is the victory? Where is the sting? I'm in Christ. And so the attitude of the overcomer in me is always one of peace. He's always got peace about this. He knows what he's doing. And he knows that in the end, he's going to win. He's going to cause it all to work together. And the result of it's going to be, I'm going to be even more Christ-like than ever before. Others' lives will be transformed. And the enemy will always overplay his hand and will lose. Now, I hope that ministers to you. It's a really important word. In this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. But just before that, he said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But you don't have to wait for the tribulation to go away to experience peace, his peace. Because he said, he is the overcomer. And he will overcome. Just trust him with it. Just be at peace. This is what he's been saying to me over and over again the last few months. Just trust me with this, Chuck. Just trust me with this. And there were times I've struggled, and he wasn't offended with the struggle, because eventually there was a breakthrough in that place where, Lord, I'm trusting you with this. I'm abiding in your peace. And he knows that I've now entered into a place that I'll never be vulnerable to the enemy again. The enemy would not only not win, but he'll have lost ground that he'll never recover from. I'll have gained a place of victory from which I'll never retreat. Okay? Well, we're a little bit longer today, but I trust it was worth it, and God will minister real life to you. And I love you very much. I'm so grateful that you drop in and listen, and I pray that the rest of this day you have an extraordinary time in Christ, who is your life. Amen?